This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom?
Can you make the chair stop creaking, for God's sake?
Hey, it's chair in your house, Tom.
I told you to freeze when we start the show.
Whenever you talk, you're just like, you need to stay still as a statue.
And look at me when I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
No, I apologize. I'll get some, when you come back next week, Tim, that chair is going to be covered in WD-40.
Can you grease this puppy up a little bit,
yeah,
Tom?
Yeah, I'll make sure all the chairs are well greased.
I've been begging you to grease it up for weeks now.
Yeah, I got to grease up everything in this room. I got to grease up the mic stands, grease up the mics themselves, maybe.
Yeah, that'll make it sound smooth.
Yeah. But I asked you a question. My question was, how are you doing this week?
Tom, I think this, relates the way I'm feeling. Introspective and worried.
Oh, okay.
Tom,
well, that's a good way to be.
Well, no, we complain a lot on this show.
Well,
right?
You do. I don't.
Well, no,
really.
I mean, you spent 25 minutes describing a Netflix show that you watched last week.
I was going to joke and say, I don't complain, I brag. But that was like, oh, I do brag on this show about inconsequential things.
Yeah. And we're just goofing off. We're just having fun.
Hey,
having
come on.
Some laughs.
Hey, relax. Lay off us.
But now we're getting to the point in our lives, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are over 40, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Others not so old. but I'm seeing people who are like our age that I knew when they were our age, and now they're like older people.
Yeah.
And they're just goddamn cranks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I went to visit my parents this weekend.
Well, your parents are older than you.
No, my parents aren't.
Significantly
cranks.
Older.
They're lovely people.
All
my
right.
parents
good.
Are
good. I'm glad to hear they haven't turned into cranks.
They have this neighbor.
They still
the
do a lot of crank calls, though, right?
Oh, of course.
They're still crank yankers.
I mean, they watch a lot of crank yankers.
Right. I've gotten a lot of phony phone calls late at night from your dad.
Yeah, doing his best Adam Carolla impression.
He was like, we got to come in. We gotta get rid of those termites. And I'm like, this is Tim's
on.
Dad.
Yeah,
it's 3 in the morning. No legitimate termite service is going to call this late. This is some kind of a crank yank.
There's a guy across the street from them that used to be like the neighborhood jokester, like a fun guy when he was like... in his late 30s and early 40s.
I don't think I had a neighborhood jokester.
Really? Like at the block party who like would regale everyone, like who would like have a couple more beers than he should and like, start telling like, a little risky. Yeah, exactly. And everyone's like, this guy.
No.
Oh.
I didn't have a...
Your block must have sucked.
Well, at least we didn't have a neighborhood joker terrorizing everybody.
Oh, not that kind of jokester, Tom.
Well, there are a thin line.
Well,
a thin line from jokester to joker.
Tom, I got horribly depressed because I went to visit my parents, and he was just like walking by, and stopped on the sidewalk and like started talking to my dad.
And you pantsed him, thinking he'll love this.
No, actually, he's like, hey. I was like, hey, great to see you. And he's just like, what are you doing here? I was like, I was visiting my parents.
My parents live in that house.
He's
still.
Like, oh, all right. What are you going to do? And we were going to the community pool together.
My
wife and I went out there. We're going to have a nice day at the pool.
Yeah, where I used to be a lifeguard.
Yeah.
Where I probably, you should have told me, Tim, I probably could have headed down with you, given everybody a thrill by
knows who the hell you are.
Hopping up in the stand for a bit, giving everybody a real thrill.
All those
Are
teams.
You telling me that all these lifeguards who were born after I became a lifeguard don't know who I am?
All these lifeguards were born after 9/11.
So you're saying that maybe they aren't being as precautious as they should. They haven't. They didn't live through that, so they don't know, you know, how bad things can get.
Yeah, or maybe
and what they have to be prepared to do.
They've only grown up in a world where everybody is hyper aware of what can go wrong.
So they're frisking everybody on the, making them walk through those naked scanners.
Tom, I got frisked so many times at this pool.
Yeah,
and I'm not complaining. Look, you gotta do what you do to see.
I saw anyone naked at the pool.
Okay.
I mean, I saw guys in the locker room, but I'm just saying, you would think I was at the pool like 40 hours a week for months.
Where mostly families go?
Yeah.
Tom, you wanted to see?
But even still, like...
What kind of...
I'm not saying I wanted to see it. I'm just saying I'm surprised.
You seemed disappointed when you said that, you know.
I mean, a little disappointed, but... Just saying, it's weird when you think about it.
So this guy,
mm-hmm.
he's like, oh, you're going to the pool, huh? That's residents only. And there's a reason why this guy, he's like,
I
don't think people from Brooklyn could come in and just use our pool like that. And I was like, what do you mean by people from Brooklyn? Because you're not talking about me, you creep. He used to be so much fun. He would do like... Funny, he was like the neighborhood Robin Williams, like coked up Robin Williams era.
Okay. Maybe he got clean. Maybe that's why
he do like he'd do like funny voices and stuff, and like, in retrospect, voices that are like kind of offensive. It's like, but at the block party in 1988,
yeah,
it was
his guy who works at the Chinese restaurant that we all loved.
Then he started complaining about like. How the pool has fallen into disrepair, and they used to post the menu on the wall at the snack bar, but now it's on the counter at the snack bar, so he'll never get
really
anything from
changed.
The snack bar ever again as
what?
Long as he
really?
Lives. And, like,
I mean,
taking weird stands
on
stuff.
I know that snack bar's gotten better. I know they serve, like, alcohol and stuff.
Yeah.
But even still, I imagine you could probably more or less memorize the snack bar menu by looking at it once, right?
Yeah. And
by being like, yeah, okay, these are the three items I would be interested in. I'll remember that they have those.
And he's like, how am I supposed to know how much a hot dog costs? And the menu is posted. It's just posted in a different place.
Right.
And
well,
he's
he
vowed
gets
to
flustered
never
flustered when he gets up to the counter.
Yeah. So...
A hot dog's $138. Well, I got to think about this.
Well, that's the thing. You're starting to think like this guy, which is a dangerous way of thinking. A hot dog's not going to cost $100.
How do I know until I get up there and then they've already got me?
He thinks they moved the menu so that they could change the price to $138. He'll order it and then, he has to pay it.
I mean, it's a pretty good scam.
Well, this is the thing. Like, that's where I saw a little bit of... You and I, you know, one of us would tell a story about how we were upset that we thought a snack bar was trying to pull a scam on us.
Yeah.
And it's funny now because we have like other things going on in our lives.
but at
in
some
30
point, we're not.
Years, we're not going to have anything else going on in our lives. And that's going to be the only thing we have to say.
Oh, I fully imagine by the time I'm hopefully I make it, if I'm like 70 plus. That like 90% of my day is going to be taken up by being suspicious of scams.
Yeah.
But then also getting, getting a phone call where they're like, this is Apple and we need to have your phone password. And say, oh, okay. Well, I guess you wouldn't be calling me if it weren't important.
Tom, I have something that I want to complain about. And this is going to be my last complaint.
Forever?
Well, yeah, because I don't want to become an old crank.
All right,
so I'm retiring. I'm going out on top with this complaint.
And you've never gone back on anything you've promised on the podcast.
No, like what?
Like I think you've promised before to not be an old crank anymore.
Well, guess what? I'm turning my life around. this is the last hurrah.
Unfortunately, when I called you out on that, I realized the reason why I know that you've gone back on things you've promised on the podcast is because neither of us remember like anything we've said on past podcasts.
I don't. I just don't think I make grand sweeping statements the way that you're implying.
And then
that
as a result, I can't remember anything that you've said. But you have made grand sweeping.
I'm just doing the whole barrage you with BS, so you can't.
Yeah,
and
then I can't hold you accountable.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this is my last complaint on the podcast forever.
Mm-hmm. I've got one. What is that? Hey, Wayne, I've got one last complaint from Nirvana.
Yeah, from Nirvana.
In Utero was the album.
Yeah. All right, here it is, my last complaint. I'm pissed off that the Statue of Liberty is green. Why aren't more people up in arms about this?
Do you know why it's green?
Yeah.
Explain it.
All right. So France gets us this nice gift.
Yeah.
They give us this whole statue.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, take this gift.
Yeah. But they're like a weird Italian.
I need a dialect coach, Tom.
They would be like this. We have made this statue for you.
Yeah.
You forgot what French people sound like? You forgot what a bad French accent sounds like?
I thought that was pretty good, Tom. Don't tell yourself short.
We were like, nice, hey, take the beret off her, give her a crown.
What is it, copper?
Yeah, it's made out of copper.
This beautiful copper
statue. Big ass statue, by the way. One of the biggest out there.
It's not some freaking trinket.
Yeah. It's been up there since 1776.
It's not quite, but close. For all intents and purposes, probably, yeah.
It's been up there since 1885, I want to say. 1886, I think, was when it was built.
Sure.
Or maybe finished.
The only information I'm getting here is, can I purchase food or bring my own to the statue?
Well, that's what's most important about the Statue of Liberty. Well, I'll look it up. You keep explaining why. I want to hear why you think it's green.
Okay. It gets oxidized.
Yes.
And it turns green.
Yep, you got it.
That's fine. Guess what? We can,
1886, October 26th.
Great, congratulations.
Thank you.
It looked real nice, and then it turns green, and we're not even going to do anything about it?
Well, it turned green like over 100 years ago. What are we going to do about it now?
Clean it off. Something gets rusted. That's oxidation, too. Something gets rusted. You know, it's like, well, what am I going to do? I just have a rusty bike, I guess. No.
Oh, so you're saying they should coat it in WD-40 or something.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking.
I think they probably don't want such a shiny statue that big.
What are you kidding me? Why not?
Because they get blind pilots flying by.
Shit, look.
I know. You always say that, Tim. Whenever you're shooting lasers up at passing airplanes, you're always like, what's the worst that could happen? You ever see a video of what it looks like in a cockpit when somebody shines a laser?
Tom, this is why the Statue of Liberty is green, because a pilot would get blinded like a laser pointer.
Well, I'm just saying, have you ever seen a video of what it looks like?
I have, but I don't see how that's relevant.
It's crazy. They can't fly.
Okay.
So what if they're like, great, we're going to take all the oxidation off the Statue of Liberty, and then somebody else is like, yeah, guess what? I'm going to make a big Facebook event. Everybody point your laser pointer at the Statue of Liberty. We'll drive all the pilots around the world blind.
And that's why you think they let...
I'm not saying it's the only reason, but it's a big
gift. And like, it starts turning...
And you just let it go to shit.
And it turns green, and then like, you know, France is like... noticed, right? You know, they're probably like, the fuck? We gave them this nice statue.
You weren't supposed to keep it outside. What are you doing?
But you can't tell, like, America, known for its ingenuity. Mm-hmm. We got Boston Dynamics building robots that can do backflips and do the Thriller dance all synchronized.
Yeah.
We can't figure out how to make this thing look freaking copper again.
You want to hire
copper
a
again?
Company from Boston to fix New York's problems? Were you out of your mind?
It's actually New Jersey's problem.
I mean, I guess they could like clean it off and then like coat it, probably like put some kind of a clear coat that they didn't have 140 years ago.
Yeah, or just maintain it.
I don't know. Is like brown that much better of a color than green for a statue?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Everybody knows that it's green now. And guess what else is green? Money, baby. People are coming into Ellis Island nowadays, and they're like, that's the color I like to see. That's why I came here, to make that scratch.
It's a disgrace. And Tom, that's my last complaint, but I'm going to piggyback another complaint on it because it's somewhat related.
Have you ever been inside the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, I have.
Up to the crown?
Maybe not that high.
Up
have you?
To the torch?
No, nobody goes to the torch.
They used to be able to.
Yeah, it's been closed since 1916.
But they used to be able to. I've only been to the Statue of Liberty once, I think in like seventh grade. And we did get to go to the crown, and it was really cool. And like, even back then, I remember thinking like, how is all this legal? This is so dangerous. Like, just you're going single file up like the smallest staircase you've ever imagined. And if you get, you know, vertigo or fear of heights up there halfway, everybody'd have to turn around to let you back down.
Well, sure it's happened.
Oh, I'm sure it has, but how embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
And then once you get up to the crown, they're like, keep moving, other people gotta see it. And it's like, what? I spent like a half hour walking
see,
up this stupid
Tom,
staircase.
And you think you're not gonna turn into this crank across the street from my parents?
But I'll tell you what, Tim, the inside of the Statue of Liberty, nice and copper.
Exactly. Piggybacking.
Actually, I forget if that was the case. It's only the thickness of like, I don't know, 2 or 3 pennies. Very thin statue.
This is my last complaint.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a question
okay.
related to this. The Married with Children TV show
yeah.
theme song, when it says married. And
with
it says the
children.
Uh-huh. Why does it then get covered in slime?
That was just the flavor of the day.
Yeah.
People like to see things get covered in slime. Yeah, it always made me think, like, is this Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
Should I watch this? And then when you watched it as a kid, it was like, this is the raunchiest TV show ever imaginable.
I don't understand what's going on, but I know
I
shouldn't be watching it.
I don't understand why this is on regular TV. Yeah, that's probably, they probably put slime to, you know, get, and slime with children. Maybe it was just back then everybody associated children with slime because of Nickelodeon. Tim, I was so excited this week when you suggested the topic, the metaverse.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the news.
Because it's, you know, where all my novels take place, the universe that I've created in my young adult novels.
I forgot. You wrote a book called Meta.
Yeah. And it takes place. It's never explicitly said, but it's what a lot of fans call it.
Huh. And that's where Mark Zuckerberg wants to take
Yeah,
everybody.
Mark Zuckerberg's trying to help his way in. He wants to write fan fiction that he wants made canon.
That
He's written a lot of fan
lucrative
fiction.
For you. Imagine Mark, imagine some weird, crappy billionaire like decided on a whim that he was like, that they were, and there's no, well, there are billionaire women. I'm just saying,
yeah,
every billionaire
they're mostly
is,
men.
Is,
yeah.
It's a disgrace. So I guess women can be a disgrace
too.
Hey,
women can be a disgrace too. It's 2021.
Yeah. You know, like, imagine, like, some on a whim, somebody mm-hmm. like got really into your books or this podcast or something
mm-hmm.
and could just be like, hey, do this for me. Or, like, I want to, and just, like, one day and, like, change your life.
I mean, that's what Bezos did with that show, The Expanse.
What is that?
I think it was on Sci-Fi Channel. It's based
Jeff Bezos?
Jeff Bezos. It's based on books, but it's just like a very hard sci-fi, like somewhat nearish future.
Where everybody agrees that the most attractive people are the bald people.
No. Where it's like Earth has colonized Mars, I believe colonized the moon, and is also like mining the asteroid belt. But it's hard sci-fi in the sense where it's like, and they're dealing with all the problems, like people that are born on Mars, like their bone density's off. They can never go to Earth.
Hmm.
People that work in the asteroid belt mining asteroids, they're just like miners are here on Earth. They're treated like total shit.
Right.
But the show was canceled on Sci-Fi and he was like, oh, I'll make this show for Amazon Prime. And it was almost solely, I mean, they have a very dedicated fan base, the show, but it seems like it was mostly just like, no, Jeff Bezos really likes that show and he didn't want to cancel it. He wanted to see more.
Right.
Which is like a pretty good, you know, that's like being a patron of the arts.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's more like, I mean, it's also,
I'm
going
to be a patron of the arts and then I'm going to charge people to see it. Yeah.
I imagine if like Mark Zuckerberg was like a fan of the Meta series, he'd be like, I'll pay you $100 million. He'd lowball you, so it'd be like a lot less than that. But to write 5 Meta books that only I can read.
Yeah, I'd do it. I'd do it for a lot less than $100 million. Dollars.
Tom, you'd do
but
it
if
for
he
like...
offered me $100 million, I'd take it.
Yeah, of course. That'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably even, no, I was going to say, I'd probably even do it for free because of all the publicity it would bring. But I guess
it's that a lot would of work probably for not, free for a billionaire.
It'd be a lot of work to do for a guy who could very easily pay me for it.
Yeah.
And also, it wouldn't necessarily bring positive publicity. Yeah.
But what I if, don't but, think this would happen, though. But what I don't if think we had was, to worry about this.
What if it was just like, all right, 5 books, and it was just like, I'm going to write them all. I'm going to go on like a Coke-fueled bender, and I'm just going to pump out 5 like stream of consciousness books for Mark Zuckerberg.
I imagine it would be some sort of positive but less harmful misery situation.
Oh,
where,
yeah.
Like, if Zuck doesn't like where the story's going,
he's
going to
break
gonna
my
hear
legs
from
and,
Zuck.
And keep me in a cabin chained to the bed. I mean, this podcast for pretty much the entirety it's been going on, we've been desperately hoping to catch the ear of some billionaire that likes it, that says to us, hey, boys, guess what? Start making a podcast just for me. I'll pay you $100 million.
Yeah, it
wouldn't
seems
even have to be for a
year. Increasingly unlikely. That this
might happen. You know what? I'll tell you what. Any billionaire out there listening, $100 million, we'll keep doing it forever. Just for you.
2 years.
2 years? $100 million, Tim.
Well, we had to do it. We're like contractually obligated to do this forever till we die?
Yeah, why not? We're already halfway there. $100 million, Tim. That's an extremely life-changing amount of money.
For some people.
For you and for me, Tim.
You have no idea what my financial situation's like.
But so you're saying if somebody came along to you and they were like, hey, I'd like to offer you a job. You're only going to have to work a few hours a week. I'll pay you $100 million, but you're going to have to like keep doing it. You'd be like, no, forget it.
Well, I would try to negotiate so I'm not getting into a contract that will last the entirety of my existence.
Well, sure, of course there's room for negotiation, Tim. But here's the other thing. What if we get paid up front, we just spend all the money, and then we use some of that money to get new identities?
This bastard's going to claw that back?
Yeah. Nah. He'll get bored. $100 million is nothing to him.
Yeah.
But Tim, we're talking about the real metaverse, which is like kind of not really a thing, but it's becoming a big buzzword.
Explain to me, an idiot.
Yeah. A real, like the dumbest piece of shit you could ever imagine.
Me?
Yeah.
All right. Explain to me.
Hypothetically.
The dumbest piece of shit you could ever imagine. What the metaverse is.
Tim,
and I'm not talking about your dang books, Tom.
I'm going to explain it in a way that is going to be very simple that you're going to instantly get. The word metaverse is the new cyberspace. And so, you know what cyberspace is,
yeah,
right?
Just some bullshit. Just like, oh, we're going to do things online now.
Yeah. So the metaverse, it's this new idea, this new buzzword that everybody's buzzing about. And basically, I looked up a few definitions of it. I still think mine is the best one. That's just the new cyberspace. But it's essentially a collective, shared, virtual environment. A fully immersive digital space where we'll spend people like Zuck think we're going to spend, like, you know, huge chunks, potentially even the majority of our day inside of this thing.
So this is something that you need to wear, like, a VR headset in order to participate
in? So the current thing, at least that, like, Facebook is pushing as the metaverse, is not exclusive to virtual reality, but heavily relies on virtual. So if you're, like, having a meeting and a bunch of people have VR headsets, somebody could not have a VR headset and they could still essentially call in like you would on a Zoom call.
Right. Yeah, like he'd be that guy who calls on the phone to a video Zoom call.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's like, this guy can't keep up.
Exactly.
He can't really hear it. He doesn't really know what's going on. Whenever he talks, it's like, just use your computer and sign in.
I don't understand. I mean, I haven't worked for a company in a long time, but I, you know, even like a decade ago, I could not understand, like, we haven't figured out phones yet. Like, I thought phones were a solved problem, and how come it's still just so hard to have, like, a conference call? I mean, I guess I do conference calls occasionally nowadays, like, you know, for various things, and I'm just always shocked.
Party lines?
Yeah, a lot of party lines I get on. No, like, you know, like, sometimes sponsors want to talk to us or whatever. What did I have a call for the other day? Oh, it was like I don't want to say what it was for, but it was for something.
Well, and now you've piqued everyone's interest.
It was for erotic
talking,
the satisfaction. And it was just like a real bad connection. It was just such a bad call as a result of that. And I feel like that still just happens.
You don't complain on this show, though. It's only me.
No, I'm just saying, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's the state of things.
Yeah.
And you got people like Zuckerberg saying, like, we're all going to be in the metaverse. It's like, sure, maybe with the internet you've got, you know, on Facebook campus and whatever you've got piped to your house. But, like, a lot of us, I have good internet here, but it's not perfect.
Calm down. You're getting so far ahead of yourself.
I'm bragging about my internet. It's pretty good here.
Okay.
I only pay for 200 megabits, but guess what? I consistently get 3.
Tom, can you please be quiet for, like, just 20 seconds?
Like, ask me what the metaverse is. All right.
So I've been hearing a lot about the metaverse. I've been seeing it in headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turn on CBS this morning, and...
do you watch the morning news?
No, hell no.
Well, it sounds like you do.
I saw clips of it on Twitter. So I see Zuckerberg...
God, that's even worse.
Yeah.
I don't watch the morning news. I watch clips of it on Twitter.
Well, this is what I saw today. Can you let me say, like, 3 consecutive sentences without yelling at me?
I thought you were going to say 3 consecutive words. I was going to say, I've let you do that.
So I beam into however I see Zuck on CBS this morning, and it's a total, like, they're all like, oh, like, just, it's an infomercial for whatever they're doing.
Yeah, they're like, oh, Facebook wants to be on our show.
Yeah, and it's him like, this will be, how does he talk?
Oh, like, I kind of talk like this. It's kind of like the way a Muppet would talk, but very, very serious.
Yeah, but and then he does this forced laughter, like, and we all know how that goes. And they were like, oh, what is this metaverse thing? And he's like, you just put on the VR headset, and he's doing it, and they're all there. And it just looks like The Sims, kind of. And they're all in a room together.
Yeah.
Like, I guess they weren't in the same room. And it was like a Zoom call in virtual reality where you'd look, and, like, you could be like, Zuck sits here, and this anchor is sitting there. And he's like, and my favorite thing about this is you can change the layout of the room.
Yeah.
It's like, and it seemed like a Zoom meeting in virtual reality. Like, rather than just having everybody's pictures, you have little weird avatars, which, like, can we get rid of the cartoony avatars for things. I don't want to live in that world with cartoony avatars. And then it's instead of just like seeing everybody's face, you see their avatars and it's like, oh, it looks like that guy's over a little bit to my left.
Yeah.
And then this lady is over like a little bit to my right. This is cool. This feels like reality now.
And meanwhile, Jeffrey Toobin's like, this is great. Yeah, we should all switch to this. No more video calls.
Toobin. The tubes.
Yeah.
I think what happened with Jeffrey Toobin would have been way more upsetting in the metaverse.
I think he's having a stroke. His avatar's going wild.
No, because the metaverse is going to be like their event. They're going to keep iterating it, right?
Yeah.
And then in the Toobin thing, it's going to be like, oh my God, I got wet. What happened? What's
oh,
on
I
me?
Should have. Well, hopefully it's going to be like seeing things in 4DX, the popular cinema.
Oh,
format.
you love 4DX.
Yeah.
The seat shakes.
Man,
and
I haven't been
you.
To a 4DX show in a long time. It's a sad state of affairs. But in 4DX, you could turn the water off.
The
that
seat
was the
electrocutes
one,
you?
That was the one feature you could turn off was water, which was nice because like, the water was fun sometimes, but then sometimes they would program movies where it's like, it's raining the whole movie, so it'll be raining on you the whole movie. It's like, well, you got my popcorn all wet.
You don't go to the movies to get soaked?
You got my popcorn all wet with water I suspect comes from the sinks of the washroom. This episode of The Complete Guide to Everything is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tim, you ever have something you really need to get off your chest?
Constantly, Tom.
Constantly? You're just walking around, you want to tell people you hate them or you love them or you know where the treasure is buried.
Interesting, you went negative first, but yeah, no, there's a lot of things.
Love, second. And then the treasure, that's also
the
positive.
Treasure is the wild card.
It could be good or it could be bad. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start affecting us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. As everybody knows, we're big proponents of therapy on this podcast.
Love it.
We think it's... something anyone can benefit from. It's not just people who have been through traumatic experiences or going through a rough patch. Even if you're doing good, maybe you can do better. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/completeguide today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/completeguide.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So unfortunately, Facebook, they're one of the ones really pushing on this metaverse concept, and they came out this week with like, you know, another big media push, and their presentation, as you were saying, for the metaverse is like the lamest possible version of just this will be a new way to have meetings in virtual reality.
Do you think Mark Zuckerberg thinks people like he enjoys meetings, right?
Oh,
because when he's in a meeting,
yeah, everybody's just listening to him.
Yeah,
and
telling everybody what to do.
Yeah,
and
I mean, and that's, you know, when you
think like everybody must love meetings. That's where everybody's the happiest.
I mean, when you're the CEO,
everybody's got a bunch of sycophants around them, right?
But I think kind of regardless of the company. When you're the CEO, it seems like the majority of your time is spent in meetings.
Right.
Like Mark Zuckerberg's never like, all right, well, I got 2 free hours. Let me start like sketching out a new product or whatever, or start coding some new thing. Yeah, it's all meetings. So I think for somebody like him, he's like, hey, how about we make meetings, I don't know, require a headset or whatever. Well, and I think also, you know, the last year and a half of working from home has pushed all these companies, all the, you know, Facebook, Microsoft, Google, Apples, Amazons of the world to like rethink their businesses along this trend of like, how, where do we fit in to people being working from home all the time? And Facebook right now is thinking we'll have everybody do their meetings in Facebook on MVR.
Which I guess is fine for Facebook, but Mark Zuckerberg wants us all to live our lives in...
Well, yeah, so actually that's a good point. I was just about to say that.
I mean, all these companies want us all constantly working all the time.
Well, I was going to say that I didn't fully explain what the idea of the metaverse is. It was coined, I want to say maybe in Snow Crash, the book.
You don't like the book, but you're a big fan of the author?
William Gibson?
Yeah.
Is he problematic now?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think he's problematic. I think you're thinking of Orson Scott Card.
I mean, all these guys are probably not good guys.
I think he's, maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't heard anything bad about him.
Yeah. Interesting the way you said that. Is he problematic now?
Well, but you just assume because he's a sci-fi writer that's been around. You're like, oh, he's probably canceled.
Yeah, probably. If not canceled, probably deserves to be.
No, I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit here and defend the guy. I don't really know that much about him, but I've read a few of his books. And
wait, Neal Stephenson?
No. Oh, yes. No, I'm thinking of William Gibson, though.
Right.
But Neal Stephenson wrote Snow Crash. I'm thinking of William Gibson wrote Neuromancer, and I can't remember what else. Big sci-fi
no,
books.
No, I'm on Neal Stephenson's Wikipedia page, and there is no controversy section.
Okay, well, then it's fine.
Outside of.
I mean, both of these guys are still putting books out, so... But these are the guys who, like, in the 80s came up with a lot of stuff. You know, they came up with a lot of these words, like metaverse, cyberspace. You know, they were at the cutting edge of...
Pets.com.
they imagine Pets.com. They were at the cutting edge of like, oh, this stuff's starting. Computers, the internet is in its infancy. Computers aren't, but the internet and home computers are in their infancy. We're going to write books about where this is going. So that's where ideas about the metaverse come. But the basic idea of the metaverse, and this is an idea that's in like Ready Player One, other things where it's essentially like a shared space that a one company in particular doesn't own.
Oh, well, that was what the whole internet was supposed to be, right?
Exactly.
And then enter the goggles.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, nobody owns the internet. You can go to any website.
Right.
And basically, they were extrapolating that out. I mean, the web wasn't even around when some of these books were written. But the internet
was... There
was
no surf in the web?
No surf in the
web.
What
did people do when they couldn't surf the web?
They went on, like, Telnet and Gopher and Usenet, other
Skynet?
Things. Not Skynet. They were smart enough to stay off of Skynet. But they basically were looking at all this stuff and saying, like, yeah, this is all primitive, but one day we're going to get to the point where, like, everything's virtual reality, everything's, like, 3D avatars, and whether you put on a VR headset an AR headset or you're just looking at a two-dimensional screen, there's going to be like a 3D space that exists that is like a 3D representation of the internet, and everything's going to be on there. So there's going to be like a big building that says Netflix, and you'll be able to go in there to watch Netflix movies. But across the street, there's the HBO Max building. You can go in there. And then it's like, oh, I need to pick some stuff up for my kid. I'll go to Amazon. And then like, but then maybe I need to kick back, have some fun. I'll go to a bar and my friends will be at that bar. But I'm in one program the entire time. Right. I'm not switching between different apps.
Right. Tom,
mm-hmm.
What's the benefit of this? Why would this happen? And why would anybody want this to happen?
Well, I was going to say, the thing that like a lot of people like Zuck and other people, talking about the metaverse, they're like conveniently leaving out the fact that in all of these books, all of them, where there's something like a metaverse, the reason why is because the real world is a dystopian hellscape that everyone wants to escape from.
Right.
So that's why they're going into these things. And unfortunately, it looks like, these books really hit the nail on the head of what would drive us to escape
now
to these places.
Now, is this why Zuck worked so hard to make the current world a dystopian hellscape?
I don't think so. I think Mark Zuckerberg did not work to make the world a dystopian hellscape. He worked to make as much money as humanly possible, and that was not even an wanted side effect.
He's just a guy. It happened.
It's just collateral. Yeah. It's just, well, that's what's going to happen. And I think, again, he's skating to where the puck's going to be.
Right.
And he's seeing like, oh, pretty soon everybody already escapes into their phones. And once the technology catches up, people are going to want to escape into something even more immersive.
Do you want this to happen, Tom? Do you want a thriving metaverse that you can go into whenever you'd like?
Not in this way. I think certain elements of it sound really cool and fun. And like I love thinking about the future and thinking about the progression of technology. And there are definitely elements of this that sound like, that's great. That sounds cool. But there are also the problem with technology in general right now, and why it's like kind of hard to be excited about a lot of technology, is because it's like, I can see all the downsides to that. Just because we use technology when we were kids and it was like, whoa, look at the new Game Boy. Nobody was like, well, people are going to be on that Game Boy 16 hours a day and they're never going to. I mean, actually, people were.
Were people on Game Boy?
No, I'm saying people were worried about that they were like, these kids, it's gonna rot their brains. And that didn't happen, but the phones did rot, legitimately rot people's brains.
What aspect, like, if you could design the metaverse to only be, you know, to be a nice complement to the real world,
okay,
which hopefully will not fall into a complete dystopian hellscape, what elements, like, how would you build it? Because to me, it just seems like a Netflix building. Well, I have Netflix on my TV.
Yeah.
Or if it's like, ooh, but don't you want the immersive experience? I could go to a movie theater. I mean, but not now, I can't, because there's a goddamn pandemic, because we live in a dystopian hellscape.
Yeah.
But theoretically.
But, well, so, I mean, they have, like, VR, like, one of the more popular apps on the VR headset. The Oculus Quest, which is Facebook's VR headset, which I do own, full disclosure. They have, what's the name of it? Big Screen, it's called. And it's like an app where basically you can watch movies in like, you know, like a nice movie theater, or a nice home movie theater, space station movie theater, a drive-in movie theater. But the allure to it is more, you can invite friends and then they are literally sitting next to you And of course, they're just like a dopey avatar. But when you hear them talking, you hear them to the right of you where they're sitting, right. for example. So you can actually like sit and kind of have a communal experience. And I
Which
think,
is nice during a pandemic.
Nice. Well, I was going to say it's nice during a pandemic, but it's also nice if, you know, you can't be with somebody. If you're on the other side of the country or something like that, I can see that being, you know, especially now. It's funny to me that we're all kind of past this trend where, you know, for, you know, a year and a half ago starting, where it's like, we're going to do Zoom calls and house party calls with everybody, you know, with friends and family. And then people very quickly got sick of that. Mm-hmm. I think part of it was because we all started having to do it for like work a lot, too. But I think it was also like, okay, I'm just staring at a screen with your face on
it. We're not doing anything.
Yeah. And this isn't how when we hang out, we don't just sit across.
We carve jack-o'-lanterns together.
Exactly.
That's what I do.
We dye Easter eggs. We do all kinds of fun stuff. Exactly. And now you'll be able to do that.
The candle of the menorah together.
And now you'll be able to do that kind of stuff in the metaverse, in virtual reality. Another place where that's pushing the metaverse concept is Fortnite.
Okay.
I think they're leaning a little more towards the Ready Player One idea of Fortnite, where
the Iron Giant running around.
Yeah, where the idea is like, this isn't a place where, and this isn't like an open internet type thing where it's like everything's here, but all IPs are here because we're doing licensing deals with everything. So you can have Spider-Man and Batman and Stranger Things and John Wick or whatever. They can all be together.
This sucks.
But I think also
I hate this. Call off if anybody's listening who has the power, call off the metaverse. This sounds like it really sucks.
But I mean, with Fortnite, you know, with kids, I mean, that's the thing. We're going to see the repercussions of what's happening now, you know, in the decades to come for these kids that, you know, they got screwed on being alive right now.
Yeah, guess what? The trade-off will be they'll never die. They'll cure it, but they can't go outside.
Right. So, I mean, but that's the thing where it's like, all right, so some kid that's like 8 years old now and are now deep into year two of like, I don't hang out with my friends. We all go on Fortnite, mm-hmm. and not even necessarily like play the game, you know, do the battle royale together. We just like go on there and we make things and we hang out and we bullshit and we talk, because like, I also think kids are, you know, they're more like self-aware and stuff. They're like, I don't want to be on a video. I mean, if you think about like when we were kids and teenagers, if it was like, hey, you can all be on a video call together, which would have been insanely futuristic, or you can all play a video game at the same time and see each other and talk, I think we would have gone with like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. I think we would have gone with like, let's hang out with each other, though.
But I'm saying if we couldn't,
And I just feel like the thing that's bumming me out about the metaverse is that they're trying to like, force us into, like, it should be a last resort. Like,
yeah. We're there.
Yeah, and I think that's the other. It's either they're forcing it unnecessarily, which is, and it's a pale imitation of reality.
Yeah, right.
Or coming to terms with the fact that it is necessary, which sucks shit, even worse.
Well, I was going to say, you mentioned that, like, you hate all these cartoony avatars. And the thing is, like, that's where the technology is right now. Mm-hmm. But they're getting better and better. And now there's, like, a few different companies working on, like, really creepy shit where it's, like, This is a two cameras, one that's like inside your VR headset looking at your eyes, and then another one that is like basically when you see, you know, Mark Ruffalo being the Hulk and he's got dots all over his face and like a camera on his head that's like, you know, attached to a foot-long pole facing him. That there's going to be like a combination of that so that when you're in this virtual reality, you're gonna look like you and your face is gonna move like your face. I mean, we're probably not too far away from that because things are they're already working on that and stuff's moving pretty quickly, which I was gonna say is the other just kind of right place, right time type thing where everybody's, you know, been in this weird world for a year and a half. And at the same time, like technology's finally gotten good enough where, like I said, I have that Oculus Quest 2. Thing's $299 and like blows away a VR headset you could have bought 2 years ago. So it's kind of like the way phones went where it's like, oh, if you wait a year or two, it's twice as good.
Right.
And, you know, so it's gotten, you know, $299, it's not a insignificant amount of money, but like for what it is, it's pretty inexpensive that if somebody's interested in it, it's attainable. Whereas when these books were being written, VR was $10,000 and it didn't work.
It's the Virtual Boy. It's just red lines.
I still have a Virtual Boy. You know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about it all the time. You stole it from a friend of ours.
I didn't steal it from a friend of ours. How dare you?
Isn't it Chris's?
No, I bought it from Blockbuster.
Oh, okay.
When they were getting rid of them, I bought a Virtual Boy for $20.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris borrowed it from you one time.
Oh, I don't think I would have lent it out. I'm pretty careful about who I let borrow my Virtual Boy. Although my Virtual Boy, I think it didn't come with a stand, so I had to like use it in a weird way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Things probably worth like, I don't know, $10,000 or something now. I should look that up. Some of this stuff, you know, people nowadays.
Got a power glove. How much is that going to get me?
I don't think power gloves. There were too many power gloves, I think, is the problem. But there weren't a lot of Virtual Boys. With the whole video game collector's market, basically there's a bunch of people.
Sweaty kids freaking took your Virtual Boy out from Blockbuster.
I don't think anyone ever rented it. When I bought it, I felt like it was like basically
you
new.
You need to tell yourself, Tom.
Look, by now, all that sweat's evaporated. I have to worry about 20-year-old kid sweat on there. The video game market, it's a bunch of people turning 40 and they're like, oh, I have a lot of disposable income now and I always wanted, you know, like a Neo Geo when I was a kid, which was this insanely unobtainable thing. But now I have the money, so I'm going to buy it. That is, so prices are going absolutely insane. Mario 64 sold for like $1.5 million recently.
What?
Yeah.
Mint condition or something?
Yeah, like a mint condition. But it's like, but that game sold millions of copies. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. That's
why you got to save everything.
I've been thinking about that recently, that I want to just, like, start buying.
Hoarding.
But, like, buying stuff. I mean, me and you both had, like, if not the first and, like, the second generation iPods.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you had one of those in the package now, they're, like, thousands and thousands of dollars.
Well, that's stupid.
It is stupid, but again.
Stupid.
But, again, it's people that have, you know, this disposable income, and they're like, yeah, I always wanted that, and now I have the means, and that will fix everything. That will finally make me happy. And they're always right. It always works out.
Back to the metaverse.
Yes.
I can't see a guy like me. Like, I don't think I will willingly ever put a VR headset on.
So you're envisioning a future where somebody's holding you down and putting it on?
Probably. Like
Mark Zuckerberg himself.
If this is going
Tim, please put this
Or if it's like a prerequisite for any job that you need to get, is that like you need, it's in the metaverse and you cannot, like, this is the only way, in which is a dark future, right?
Which I'm pretty sure Facebook is heading towards, because Facebook did recently start doing reimbursements for Oculus, where like if an employee, a Facebook employee, buys an Oculus Quest and then just like submits their receipt, Facebook will give them the money back. So that's like a very short walk to like, actually, we're going to send these out to everyone, and now meetings are going to be in this. And the very, very dark thing, which again, nobody's talking about, is if you are doing your day-to-day work wearing a VR headset, well, now your employer knows everything you're doing. They know everything. You know, even if you have like invasive tracking software on your computer right now, which some people do for the jobs they're doing from home, it's like, well, but you could always just like pop open another, you know, your personal computer and, you know, Google something or whatever. But it's like, no, if this thing's going to tell Facebook you took your mask off for a half hour, then they're going to be like, why did you do that? Why weren't you in here? Why were you looking at, you know, all this stuff? Or like, you know, why was your gaze focused on this instead of this during these hours?
What about like going outside and stuff? Do you think people are not increasingly not going to do that?
I think people are increasingly going to run into problems going outside with climate change. And
I mean, I'm talking about you and I in the next 5 years in New York City.
Well, then you throw on your pair of AR glasses.
Yeah, I'm never doing that shit.
Augmented reality. So that
this sucks. Why are we doing this to ourselves?
Like,
I see why you're into this, because you're into like
technology,
and like you like to see how things progress, and I get that. But people who just like are not fascinated by it, who are just kind of like, duh, I guess this will be my life now. I don't understand. It just seems like people are just willingly kind of walking into a buzzsaw.
I don't think it's willingly. I mean, I think all of these things go through like stages of like the enthusiast stage and then like the expensive enthusiast stage, where something comes out and it's cool, but it's like, that's not like built for everyone yet. And it's $1,000. So only diehard people are going to buy it. But then it's cheaper. And then you get the people who are interested, but not, you know, that interested to spend that kind of money. And then, you know, I think at a certain point, it gets to the point where it's like, well, they're practically giving these things away. And that there are going to be some cool experiences that you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I'd like to try that. I'd like to do that. And, you know, it's like our phones.
Yeah, well, there's always the cool and useful stuff. But, like, what in AR is going to be the thing that, like, what Facebook did, where it's just like, we're going to leverage on your newsfeed or your timeline conflict. Or what phones did, where it's like, all right, these can do useful things, but we're going to get you addicted to this game. Yeah. And, like, what's the addiction angle with
AR? I think it's probably going to be something along the lines of like a Pokemon Go.
Okay, I can resist that shit. I don't care about that.
where it's going to be some kind of a game type thing,
right?
That you can only play if you have these glasses, and you're going to see it within the world, and that's going to drive a lot of people to get into
the polls, right?
That's going to drive you. Yeah, they're going to Pokemon Go to the polls after that. No, I mean, I think like phones, you know, when the iPhone started rolling out apps, they weren't like, and look at this, you can put Microsoft Teams on it. Right. They were like, no, look at this, games and like Yelp, so you can look at restaurants.
Right.
So it's going to start with things like that. And then it's going to, I think
because there's always the gutter, like fucking, they just like exploit our basest,
yeah,
fucking,
oh yeah, emotions, yeah,
and thought, right, and so it's like that's why, yeah, people like, there's an addiction element to, mm-hmm, it, right? That's why people just go on to these things and spend all their time there.
Yeah.
And
yeah, giving people the little dopamine burst.
Yeah. And it's, I feel like, a lot easier to get somebody to pull out their phone when they're bored.
Right.
Than it is to be like, oh, let me pick up this old
VR
headset and, oh, like, yeah, plop, I mean, it on my head, right?
I really like the Quest 2, but I don't use it nearly as often as like I would like, because it's like, well, I'm gonna have to put this thing in my head, and like, you know, if I'm
working, it burns. Well, you didn't mention that it's very, very hot.
Well, they actually just did like a recall for like the what they call the facial interface, which is essentially the foam, mm-hmm, like that presses up against your head because it can cause irritation.
It's made of asbestos.
But it won't catch on fire. But I think it will be something like that, where I think there will be it'll be like falling in love. It'll happen slowly, and then all of a sudden. Right? Is that...
That's not how I've experienced love.
Have you experienced love?
I think so. How do you know?
How many years have you been married? Where I think people will get comfortable using this stuff in their home first, like especially the AR glasses. I think there might be some really cool, like, you can have a virtual person in your home that, you know,
that's no.
Or like, hey, instead of buying a bigger TV, just put these glasses on and you can have a TV take up your entire wall. And then the technology will progress and people will get more comfortable and start wearing them out. You know, it'll progress where it's cheap and they look like regular glasses. Right. That's the biggest hurdle that a lot of these companies don't want to talk about. It's like, until this shit looks normal, nobody's gonna, not nobody, but some people.
There's gonna be a new normal, my friend.
I mean, that might be the case, but I just remember that time I was at the New York City Comic Con and saw two guys wearing Google Glass. Remember Google Glass?
Yeah, you mocked them, and then you, like, and 10 years later, you were like, Apple's getting into some really cool AR stuff, yeah, and it was exactly Google Glass.
Well, you know who those men were, Tim? Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos.
Wow.
So they were ahead
of the coolest guys on the planet.
No, but I just remember, oh, I loved it. It was one of the happiest moments of my life, watching two guys with Google Glass, one guy arguing, a guy he had just bought an action figure off of, that he was like, you told me this would be $9, and now you're saying $11. And the guy's like, I didn't say that. I said $11. He's like, well, pal, guess what? I recorded the whole thing. And his buddy being like, you recorded it? Oh, my God, that's so sick. And he's like, yeah, and I'll play it back. And he, like, took out his phone. It was, like, attaching cables to it and stuff. And the guy's like, even if I did say $9, it's $11. I misspoke. Like, this is the law isn't that if I say something and then I change it, I have to.
Yeah.
If you don't want to pay that, you can walk away. Please stop plugging your Google Glass into your phone to show me video.
Right.
And again,
but you're saying that would be cool if he didn't have to plug it into his phone, though.
Yeah,
right?
If he could just project. Yeah, if the guy also had Google Glass exactly. on, and he was like, "I'm gonna beam it to you."
I don't think we need to document as much as we document.
I feel the opposite lately, because I think that by the time we're older, like say like 10, 20 years from now, I think there's going to be some pretty crazy AR stuff where it's going to be like, hey, if you have like a bunch of pictures from this event, we'll be able to like rebuild this entire thing in three dimensions and dramatically upscale these photos and turn them into like a 3D statue that he can walk around. You don't want that?
As much as I love the idea of having a 3D statue that I could walk around of some things that I'm taking pictures of.
Of like me drinking a beer on a camping trip.
Yeah.
But Tim, luckily you took 20 pictures of this. We can feed this into an algorithm and a cluster of supercomputers.
It's a weird future you're pitching me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I work for one of these companies, the projects I would pitch, people would probably be like, yeah, but who would want to do that?
You have a lot more notes, huh?
Well, that was one of my questions, was just, does this interest you? That was my question to Tim, knowing full well that it wouldn't interest you. I think people walking into traffic and stuff is going to be a problem with all this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the VR, like, you know, I'm on like some of these Oculus Quest subreddits, and there's like so many that are just like people like, well, I'm in the emergency room. I broke my hand punching a wall.
Yeah.
And that stuff's only going to get worse, especially as it gets like more realistic. But I also have in my notes, I just wanted to say this too. They have this idea in Japan, not idea, these people. Hikikomori. Do you know about the Hikikomori?
No.
They're shut-ins. People that have, I mean, the funny thing is, it's defined as people who have spent 6 months or more without participating in society, without mental illness being the main cause. And it's like, well, I think mental illness is the main cause.
But it's mental illness driven by something, right? Like, it's not necessarily like, oh, if this were 1986, the same thing would have happened.
Well,
these things are breaking our brains.
I think in this case, it's more like this person doesn't have like agoraphobia.
Right.
That's not why they're not going outside. They're not going outside because of like a variety of reasons. But, you know, first and foremost, that they can live a life not leaving their room. But there's projected. Well, and like Japan's also like you know, they have a bunch of situations that are kind of causing this, one of which being that, like, it's very common to live with your parents in Japan until you're married. So when, like, somebody's 25 and they're living at home and never, ever leaving their room, it's like, well, some people do that and then they are perfectly adjusted. So I think it's like sometimes people can't tell until it's kind of too late. But there are estimates of up to 10 million people in Japan that have not left, not only like their apartment, have not left their bedroom in 6 months or more.
Well, don't you think technology...
And wouldn't this be great for them?
I mean, yes, it would. But like, don't you think maybe we shouldn't have made all technological progress point towards this current state where it's just like everything is convenient and frictionless so you never have to interact with somebody. Like,
yeah.
It's just like, remember when you like had to procure your own meals by not pressing a series of buttons on the screen? And then like nowadays, even with like the Postmates and stuff, they'll just like leave it outside and just and it's just like, and people are like, oh, well, this convenience. Well, at what number one, it's, I think, bad for mental health if you're not interacting with people.
Right. Yeah. We're a social species of animal.
Yeah. And number two, it's just like, well, the system works. Look how convenient it is. And it's like creating all of these new horrible jobs that are not providing a living wage. Like, it's bad in every single way. And it's like, well, this is where we've decided to focus all of our energies in the technological sphere. Either that or like more efficient ways to kill people in wars. But there's never, like, none of that utopian stuff happened.
I don't know, it's pretty nice to, like, press a button and a pizza shows up and you never have to see another human being.
Sure.
Or talk to them.
Yeah, but should we be able to do that?
I mean, when there's a little bit of friction, it won't happen as often. Like, I think that's one of the reasons why people order more take. I haven't even seen any statistics, but I just assume people order more takeout nowadays than they ever have before.
Right.
Just based on the, I mean, remember, like, even when we were kids, it was like, sometimes you would have to, like, if you called a place to, like, do a delivery or pickup order, you had to be like, what do you have? What are my options of food?
Right.
If, well, you didn't have a menu.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. Like, you can post a menu,
mm-hmm.
and we have a wonderful system, a repository of information that you can access anywhere. I just think building all these things that are like a bunch of fucking weirdos got together and be like, and like they happened to be the ones who knew how to program and stuff.
Right.
And they're like, you know what I hate? Fucking interacting with other people.
Yeah.
So like, let's just build a world where we don't have to do that. And then we all were just like, yeah, I'm on board for that. That is the future that I want.
Well, I think it was just more like, oh, this is so easy.
Yeah, but.
Hey, don't you want life to be easy? Hey, isn't life hard enough?
No, my life is not hard.
Well, I'm going to make it hard.
You're shaking your fist at
me. I'm going to put you in the hospital, and then you'll be sorry. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. You can sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/completeguide to get books and podcasts. Hey, this week, who wants to be a booksmanair?
Tom will be competing for some very nice
prizes.
Cash and prizes.
Wow, all right. Tim's version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
No, it's an original concept that I've developed myself.
Based on the books we've recently read that I always do real, real bad at because I have poor reading comprehension. Patreon.com/completeguide. You can get that and all the back episodes for only $5 a month. $8 if you want the show early and ad-free. Follow us on Facebook. Facebook.com/Mark Zuckerberg.
Whoa.
No, imagine if we got that and he was like, oh, come on, guys.
That's when we're like $100 million.
$100 million. There's no way you could possibly get this from us.
Per year. Facebook, he has to pay us.
Facebook.com/completeguide. Follow us on Twitter @CompleteGuide. Follow us on Instagram @TCGTE. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter @TomReynolds.
Follow me @YourPalTim. Should we start a newsletter? Should we start a Substack, Tom?
I mean, we have a newsletter.
Should we do things with it?
Sure.
Oh, we have a live show coming up in New York City.
Yeah.
We should tell people about that.
TCGTE.com/live. And you can watch it live. Hey, you can be part of the metaverse.
Yeah.
Watching it live in the metaverse. Put on a VR headset.
YouTube link, I think.
What?
I think it's just a YouTube link.
Yeah, but you can watch YouTube in the metaverse. Ah. You can throw on a VR headset, watch a YouTube live stream. Why not? And it's inexpensive. I don't think I like interacting online. That's my big problem with all these things, is that, like, and I've talked to other people that have, like, the Oculus headset. Like, I've never, like, hung out and talked to anybody. I've played, like, one or two games. Actually, I played this game, like, when I first got it. It was, what's it called? Gorilla Tag. Where it was a lot of fun. Everybody's a gorilla, and you got to play tag. And the reason why you're gorillas is because you have the two controllers in your hands. So you walk like a gorilla, like
those two.
I'm doing it for you. The viewer at home can't see.
You're moving your arms.
I'm moving my fists, like I'm walking on my fists like a gorilla. So it's a lot of fun.
You've gotten out of your chair. You're all sweaty.
It's a lot of fun. But then, like, as I was playing,
a bunch of teenagers called you the N-word.
No. like an 8-year-old boy was like, I'm going to kiss you. Come kiss me. And was, like, getting, like, you know, like, right up in my face. And, like, the voices get louder as they get closer. So, like, it was, like, right in my ear. I'm like, get away. No, stop. Get away from me.
Yeah.
So that's the problem.
That's around the metaverse, is that 8-year-old boys are always trying to kiss you in it.
That's one of the problems. They gotta solve those kinds of. I think some of these VR things do have, like, you can turn on basically like a bubble around you that people can't get inside of because, yeah, sometimes people get too close. But yeah, I don't really like.
Can't do that in the real world.
I wish you could. But yeah,
be a regular Jake Gyllenhaal and Bubble Boy.
Yeah, what are they gonna make a Bubble Boy too? What was the name of the
once some billionaire decides?
What was the name of the thing? John Travolta was the boy in the bubble.
Yeah,
Bubble Boy and the boy in the bubble, and they didn't get into any trouble with that.
What do you mean?
Very similar names. Remember, we watched like the boy in the bubble in school for some reason. They were like, "This will teach you about health." Sometimes your health's so bad you have to stay in a bubble.
Learned a lot from it.
All right, we'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.